Okay, thank you very much, Charlie. So I was asked to speak about can Extension step up to the plate? But in fact, this is going to be more about how Extension is stepping up to the plate in Africa. So this is work that's supported by IITA, International Institute of Tropical Agriculture, with long-term collaborations with Lilongwe University of Agriculture and Natural Resources in Malawi and Michigan State University, supported by Feed the Future USAID. So I think there's an emerging consensus that Extension should be demand-driven, that farmers, our clients, and other stakeholders should be setting priorities and Extension providing education, providing support for market value chain-led work, to be a catalyst and to support whatever demands are locally set up, whether farmer organizations or through farmers. And this is an experimentation that's been going on for some time. I'm going to give an example from Uganda and Malawi, but I urge you to look at other examples in the literature now from Bolivia and Indonesia. Of course, there are real experts in Uganda in this room, but I know that it's been really a rocky road, because Uganda actually took the bold step of dismantling their extension, the regular government extension as we know it, and focused more on decentralized or demand-driven extension, where in fact extension is supposed to be depending on what farmers have set as local priorities. And I've been at meetings in extension where the government has just made it clear that one of the big challenges is who speaks for farmers. Is it the former extension educators? Are they articulating, for example, in one village they were saying cassava processing is a priority, but non-government organizations in that same village's areas were saying it's actually poultry production, and then yet farmers' unions were saying this actually should be maize-driven. So who articulates that can be conflicting. Malawi is another example where, in fact, funding has not followed the demand, but there's actually been local priorities set by innovation platforms at community and at district level. But unfortunately, the funding to support that in extension is mostly stayed centrally located. So these are published examples. People have been trying to learn from these different types of extension that's demand-driven. I also want to mention that, in fact, there's also innovation-driven, because you know, 10 years ago, I would not have said that I needed a cell phone or a smartphone, but in fact, now I can't have it too far from me. And many people, we keep our minds there. So it turns out that sometimes extension is demand-driven, but I think there's also times when we don't know what we actually want. And so just to leave you with this, in Malawi, I've had the opportunity to work there since 1993. And in our early work, when I was based with the government, we were promoting things like agroforestry, green manure, and recommendations around fertilizer. The targeted recommendations have really proved popular. They continue to be fine-tuned, but there's real demand for them. But it's really been a no-go around agroforestry and green manures. So demand is there for things like fuel wood and soil fertility, which agroforestry can give us. But in fact, things like shrubby legumes like pigeon pea, a tropical legume, can provide some of that and also provide food and income. So through farmers articulating their demand for more, they can't just devote land just for soil fertility, they also look for other services, then we've come up with more of a farmer appropriate for that context technologies. So in that case, it's really been demand driven in Malawi, but also there's been cases such as double up legumes, where there's new policies that are more innovation-driven. And so this is what double-up legume technologies looks like. So this is pigeon pea as an overstory, groundnut or soybean as an understory. So this wasn't actually something that farmers demanded. They'd never seen that. You may not have seen this before, two legumes. We usually think of a legume and a cereal together as an intercrop. But in fact, this system gives us a lot of the environmental services that farmers may need in the long term for stem intensification, but when rotated with maize and fertilizer, it also supports intensification that farmers are looking for. And so this is a case where the Malawi government recognized the benefit of this, and through participatory extension have tried to experiment with it and tested it everywhere and then released it earlier this year. So this is a case where we have an innovation-driven extension that's fitting a niche, and hundreds of thousands of farmers are now experimenting with it through different bigger scale experimentation supported by USAID. And so we may have a case where actually innovation-driven extension. So in fact, we do need to see more demand-driven extension, but also I think there's many cases when we should not be shy to think about innovation-driven extension.